Anin, Anin. Welcome to First Nations Radio. I'm your host, Dan Wapipa, and I have a couple guests here today, Desiree Coutinho and Danny Leonardo. So welcome to the show. So we're going to take care of a little business here, and then I'll bring up your mics. You are listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM Ashton, Oregon, and 94.1 Medford, Oregon, and also streaming live at KSKQ.org, and also translator K231CW. So also, Locals Guide is proud to be an underwriter of KSKQ. Locals Guide is committed to community building through the creation of positive media. They offer a monthly magazine, mobile travel guides, and visitor information kiosks, which offer timely and accurate local information to people just like you all around the world. KSKQ thanks Locals Guide and listeners like you for supporting community radio. Okay, so I'm going to turn up your mics. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right, okay, hold on. I think I got to go ahead and try yours, Danny.
Here I am. Hello.
Okay, and Desiree?
Hi.
Okay. All right, you can hear my bulldog in the background, that's for sure.
He's pretty cute.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll go with this. All right.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. So, we have an hour to discuss about what is it? The ritual of.
Yeah, we're doing a ritual of grief and renewal, September 27th and 28th, and it's really a way to call together community to bring a space for grief. It's something that I feel like we don't have enough of, and not just grief, but also how we move through that and come through the other side. What renews us? What keeps us connected? How we find belonging in these times?
Okay, so. Now you're saying that we don't recognize grief enough. Is that?
Yeah, I feel like that's part of how we've got to the mess we're in. I saw you this morning at the climate walkout, and just right now feeling a lot of the grief and devastation of where we are collectively as a species. And I think part of how we got so lost within that is not making spaces to grieve. Not recognizing where things were going wrong as they were going wrong. And now there's this deep forgetting in our culture that's woven throughout it.
So during the ritual, what takes place there?
Yeah, we're going to be trying to call in a space for something to emerge, emergent space, what... we're going to be using Joanna Macy's Truth Mandala for part of it, especially to call in consciousness towards collective grief and the personal grief, move through that. And then there will be some other practices. A big piece of this for me as I've been feeling into this space is how to not appropriate ritual from other cultures. So what is relevant to now? Like, what are the pieces that people are coming into the room with? What are we feeling? What are we feeling collectively, the weight, and how do we move through that? And a big piece of that is belonging. I think a lot of the despair is fragmentation. We're all kind of living these individualist lifestyles, fragmented. So how do we come together and share that?
So do you have a solution for that?
It'd be great if we had a solution for that. Yeah. I don't know, Danny, do you have a solution for that?
Well, one of the things that I've really appreciated in ritual spaces that I've been in, and something that we're going to be doing at this ritual, is like writing shuttles. That has been really helpful for me, like through song, through these different sort of, like, the ritual itself is really a conglomeration of all of these different activities that we're going to be doing, including the Truth Mandala, the circles, and opportunities for us to share through words or even sounds, or, you know, like, there's, it's kind of just, we're opening up space to be able to express what we're feeling and what we're carrying. And it's also just an invitation for us to be present with what's coming up in our hearts. And like there's not really any right way in the way I see it. Like there's just our willingness to be present and be able to open up to what wants to come through.
So yeah. Circles is basically the power tool, isn't it? Is to sit in a circle and express and relate as human beings and relate our grief, you know, how we feel. And is there any particular grief that we're addressing on the 27th and 8th?
Yeah, I don't know if there's I think we're all having such a unique experience in these times. Everyone's carrying different pieces. And our identities are so different. Our loss is so different. Some people are coming in with personal losses. For myself, I know I'm feeling a lot of collective grief as a mother. Looking at climate right now, looking at the social climate of our country, there's a lot of grief about the future we're moving towards. And so, no, I'm not feeling a lot around solutions, but I am feeling this call towards deepening our connection in community and inviting the sacred back into those spaces.
Mm-hmm. There was a girl at the climate march this morning who was saying that she had made a decision not to have children because of the climate disaster that we're in right now, you know. So what kind of grief has to go through to get to that point, you know, to say I'm not going to have any kids, you know? I mean, what a heavy decision that is to make, you know? So we're living right now in a chaotic times. The predator-plunder model of society has taken over and is running rampant now. So as one of the prophecies says, you'll see the good getting better and the bad getting worse. And we're seeing that right now, you know. And so one thing that is so important is that we do communicate and we do have tools to manage our grief, you know. And that is basically what you're bringing to the table is tools to work with grief and also to help develop tools to work with grief as well, since we are not culturally appropriating other people's grief rituals, you know. So what tools do you guys work with?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That it is really a lot about the tools that we're calling. And I know for myself in the process of dreaming into this ritual space, it's been... there has been an invocation to, you know, my own ancestors, what I'm walking with, feeling into my own body and the grief I'm carrying. And through that, some song has come, some poetry has come. Those feel like little bits of tools that help us move this energy that gets stuck in our body and in our collective body. So I think those are going to be useful. Like Danny mentioned, the writing shuttles, the opportunities for each person to kind of drop in. We're going to have drumming within some of the space to help move and get in our bodies so we can all kind of move what gets stuck. And then, yeah, just the act of coming forward and being seen and what it means to let yourself be seen by the community and be received by the community, whether that's in grief and also authentic expression. So there's a couple different pieces moving around, and hopefully the container will be nourishing. And like I said, there'll be a lot of emergent space. There's a lot that I don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's part of the beauty and mystery of this.
So you're kind of using the arts as a tool to basically plumb the depths. And I know a lot of people actually use animal therapy because they are so cut off, because they are so impacted by their emotions that they've been stuffing for so long that they cannot relate with another human being, is that they are so negatively affected, you know, that they can only relate with animals at that point, you know, then maybe later on humans. But I know a lot of people use the arts to work with, you know, like, for example, veterans, you know, who have gone through some pretty harsh experiences and have shut down, you know. And so they use dance, they use poetry, writing, prose, you know, all this stuff to bring them back into their humanity because that has been shut down by the pain that they have caused and that they have suffered under, you know. So like a perpetrator-induced traumatic stress. That's when I do the damage, like if I hit you in the face, you know, or you hit me in the face. Let's do it that way. that you would suffer more damage than I would if I being the one being hit, because you all of a sudden brought yourself to such a low point that you now have debased your own idea of what you who you are as a human being. So it's difficult to be able to come out of that type of scenario, you know, with where the emotions are you cannot think of your emotions without crying, basically, you know. So do you guys have a lot? Do you guys have how many grief rituals have you done?
This will be
the first.
The first. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
This is kind of we're diving in. But we did have the opportunity to go to a grief ritual training with Frances Weller, who's written The Wild Edge of Sorrow, which is a really beautiful book. And he has held many grief rituals. So that was a really amazing process to prepare for that. That was in April. And also just working in spaces with grief. So right now... there's a parenting and challenging times group I've been working with. And that's also, how do we hold these things are really hard, really heavy. And I do appreciate what you were sharing about the perpetrator.
Pitt's perpetrator-induced traumatic stress.
Induced traumatic stress. That is so relevant. That just feels so right for our world and where we are and how we lean into those spaces with more compassion, being able to recognize that we're all suffering within the system, what's been created.
So it seems that this very system that we're living in is causing suffering just by human beings being human beings in this predator plunderer system. You know, so is there some sustaining type of activity that we can take to continue our work in this area?
I think that's a good question. I think that's everyone's going to have a different way of moving through that. I know for myself, ritual has been a really useful process of bringing intention to what it is I want to transform. So there's this pain or this hurt, and it's stuck and it's heavy and I'm falling. I just want to crumple. And ritual has been a way for me to deepen what it is I'm looking at and where I want to move it. And a lot of that's been through the arts, and also beauty, you know, nature, where it is we derive our strength from. And that feels like a very potent reminder in this work. Whatever path we're each walking, whatever different experience we're all having, we derive our source and our strength from a really similar place.
So did you two just discuss this and say, hey, let's do this, or?
We were lucky enough to attend this grief ritual training together in April. And even before that, we had discussed the idea of doing something like this. It's something that we've been interested in for a long time. So it's exciting that we're really making it happen. And, yeah, I think this has been part of our conversations for a long time. And yeah, something that came up as you two were speaking for me was this, like, what is that question of what are those practices that we can be carrying with us? How do we get through these times, even outside the container of like a ritual or a circle or some space that we're going into that's designed to hold that? Like, how can we create containers for ourselves in our daily lives to be able to move with what we're carrying. Like, I think the lack of education and support that we've had in this society to have a relationship with our feelings, like, these aren't things that we're taught, unless right. we're really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And
or you're unlucky and are becoming alcoholic, and therefore you right, can get into right, some self-help right. circles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we kind of are in this process, I think, all of us, of learning how to do that mm-hmm. in real time in our lives. And I think part of what these kinds of rituals that I've been a part of and circles I've been a part of have given me is that it's been empowering in my process of learning those things for myself in my own life, even outside those spaces, like learning to sit down and write if I'm really feeling like there's something that needs to come out and be looked at deeper, or just learning to breathe and ground myself. Like if I find myself moving into really intense anxiety or whatever it may be that's coming up, like, I think all of these sort of coping tools are so important. And if we don't have healthy coping tools, then we're using unhealthy ones. And because we all have to cope, like nobody in this world right now is safe from the dangers and the pains that we're being faced with,
mm-hmm.
with everything that's happening. So,
right. Right.
Yeah.
So there's I grew up in circles. So mm-hmm. we have a ritual, you know, it's we sit in a circle and then we pass out tobacco to people. Somebody has tobacco and they pass it to everyone in the circle, and someone follows around with a cup of water, you know, and then you say your prayer with that tobacco and you offer it to the cup of water, and then you set those in the middle of the circle so people can realize that we're not just talking amongst each other. You know, and then we bring out the feather, you know, and the feather is basically says what I'm going to say here is true, you know, and I'm backing it up, you know, because when I sit in a circle with people, that is a sacred thing. You know, it's like in the middle of that circle, whenever we natives sit together, in the middle of that circle is the universe or the creator, you know, whatever you want to think of that sacred thing in the middle, you know. And so then we have this feather, and that opens up our conversation with the creator, you know. And so I'm speaking in the circle with the creator, you know. I mean, so yeah, I'm speaking the truth, you know, because I don't want to be lying if I'm, you know, invoking the creator into my talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we go around and there's no interruptions, you know, and then maybe later on if there could be some crosstalk, you know. So, but it's a very sacred thing that we all get to participate in, to become able to communicate with our own inner selves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why am I angry, you know?
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know, like epigenetics, you know, even, you know, that people inherit things, you know, like the amygdala critical thought pattern being lodged in the amygdala, that's an inherited trait, you know. Mm-hmm. And so through epigenetics, somebody might be walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden start crying for no reason because something happened to that person's ancestor,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're dealing with as well. Not only our problems and everything, grief and everything, but also a timeline of grief.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to really consider. So is there any way to find out about your ritual of grief?
Yeah, there is a Facebook page
mm-hmm.
that is a group. I think it's, you can look on our Facebook pages.
If you look up our names on Facebook, we've both posted things about it. There's also an event page, Ritual of Renewal and Grief. Is that what it's titled, Desiree?
It's called A Community Ritual of Renewal, Sharing Grief and Core Joy in Difficult Times. So that's the Facebook event page. and you can get a link to the Eventbrite on there. And we're going to keep registration open for probably until Monday, and then we're going to close it.
So how many people do you have room for?
We're going to cap it at 20, but I think ideally a little bit smaller. It's going to be at the Headwaters building on 4th Street, so it's a intimate space, and I think, yeah, probably 15 is probably what we're looking at right now, which feels pretty good.
I'm speaking with Desiree Cotino and Danny Leonardo, and we are talking about a ritual of grief and healing that wound of grief. So when we sit in circles, how is it that in your way that you process the information, do you like have somebody say, well, I have this grief that I'm dealing with, and then do people feed into that, or people talk to that, or...
Yeah, the ritual we're going to be doing for grief is based on Joanna Macy's model of the Truth Mandala. And what she has done is created a ritual where there are four quadrants in the middle of the circle, and there are objects to represent fear, grief, outrage, and emptiness. So kind of different elements. One is, the rock is... for outrage. Oh no, sorry, the stick is for outrage. The dried up leaves for grief. There's an empty bowl for the emptiness. Oh man, I said it out of order. There's grief, outrage.
Emptiness. And
oh wow. I just said them all.
You just did, yeah.
Anger. Was it anger?
And the other one.
Anyway, and so each of those objects are a way for people to come to the center, and they can pick up an object. So if they're feeling grief, they would pick up the leaves, and then they would speak to the grief they're feeling. They would pick up the stick for the anger and the outrage. Because I think there's so many different faces of what we're all experiencing right now, and so that's sort of some of the tools from the earth that we're kind of using to invoke what it is we're carrying inside of ourselves too.
So you have a physical representation, and you're bringing the earth in to the circle, and you're speaking with this dried leaves or the stick or empty bowl or in your hand, I proclaim my grief, and then does everyone talk about it in the circle there, or
I think everyone has the opportunity to come into the circle. So it that person who's chosen to go in and come in and out, so it's a fluid kind of thing. I remember the last one, it was fear. Which I know well,
yeah.
And I think the rock is for fear. But yeah, it's so people come in and out of the circle, speak what they need to, go back out, someone else can come in, and it's whichever one they're drawn to at that time.
So
and
do they...
Your question around, are other people responding? Is that what you're kind of asking? Oh. So I feel like I would really love to see an opportunity for people to share with each other, like, reflections that we might have in response to what people are sharing. Though I think it's also really important that we're going to be having times and spaces for people to share without having any response, or where the rest of us in the circle are just holding space to listen. And there isn't an agenda to fix things or find a solution. It's just we're there to be present with and hold space for what people are sharing and coming with. And
yeah. I think you also were part of coming into this sacred space and make you know, opening those veils, is that we're coming to express our grief, to be witnessed by our community, but also by spirit, by ancestors, by something that's not just not just the community, something larger. And that probably, I don't know if there will be a specific time to respond to those griefs. I think as we move into the renewal, though, that's part of that weaving back in of community.
Mm-hmm. And so is there anything done with the leaves and the wood and the all that? Do they put them back and they're done with it, or they burn it, or?
I'm sure it depends on the people who do it for you.
Well, my immediate response to that is I would want people to be able to do what feels right to them. Like, I think part of what I'm really looking forward to in this ritual is for people to be able to have their own process and connect with what ritual means to them. And so we're holding it in community when we have this container, but the idea is for everybody to find their own path with moving through whatever it is they're moving through, whatever kind of grief that they're carrying or the kind of renewal they're looking for. So it might depend on who the person, it might depend on each person to choose what really feels right to them. And
yeah, I think holding the ritual and what we're going to choose to do with these objects afterwards. Your dog snoring is really cute.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't suppress my giggle.
He's such the cutest snore.
I think there is a way in which returning those objects to the land would probably feel really good. Mm-hmm. You know, as a way to, for all the energy and all the charge that's been built around that to be held by the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, much of what is going to be taking place in these rituals is symbolic to me. Like, there's every gesture has meaning, and that I think that's what we're inviting people to do, is to connect with the meaning behind our coming together and our going through these practices and being witnessed in that. Or not being witnessed in it, maybe it's an internal process, and that's okay too. Like, I think that's something we haven't spoken to yet, is this element of consent and this being every aspect of what we're doing during this ritual is something that we are opting into and that we have choice in. I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, Desiree.
No, I think you're speaking to it.
Yeah.
that has been a big consideration, especially within this idea of being witnessed. So we live in a culture where, you know, everyone wants attention and wants to be seen, but it's very surface when it comes into very intentional space. That's uncomfortable. And so as we're moving through holding grief, even inviting the space for the authentic to arise, if there are moments when someone doesn't want to do something or they don't want to share, I feel like being at choice is really, really important. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like really up in our culture right now, making sure people are still at choice with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys go to do define grief at the beginning of it to... different types of grief, or like maybe a societal grief, and maybe a nature-based grief, or death grief, or various other kinds of griefs. Do you guys define those?
I mean, not in the like workshop sense, probably, mm-hmm. but I do think we're going to be speaking to that, probably in the welcoming and opening part of that will be acknowledging different types of grief, because there are so many. But also in the arts. So I'll probably share a little bit of my poetry. Danny is going to be doing music. We'll be sharing other poems. Part of what's being woven throughout is this experience of the many types of grief that we're holding.
Yeah, I think it's really valuable to be naming things. Like, like you said, it's acknowledging what might be in the room, and... I don't feel like defining things and making distinctions between this type of grief and that type of grief is really what it's about. It's more just letting each, as much as we can, acknowledging and validating our unique experiences and the very specific, sometimes very specific experiences that we're having, feelings, and yeah, because there are so many kinds of grief. And mm-hmm. so thank you for that question, because
because I can see a lot of grief going on around the environment right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's so disheartening, scary, you know?
Yeah, so, it is very scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a big piece of, I know for myself, the want to invite a space like this is holding those large collective grief pieces that kind of hurt my brain and my heart and my whole body when I really feel into it, and I can't hold it alone. Mm-hmm. And I also know so many other people that are, you know, struggling with it. And how do we come together in a space to really look at it, listen to someone else's experience of it, of the same grief, or an entirely different grief that I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. So I know it's not very helpful to see somebody who's grieving and say, I know where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because no one really does, you know? I mean, every brain is unique, you know? So what are some of the better ways to, like, if you see somebody grieving, how would it be a good way to handle that, you mm-hmm. know, to help them or something, you know? Do you, so if... you're kind of almost choosing a path at this point, you know, by starting their grief rituals, you know, and renewals, you know. So this path, how do you see that looking like?
That's a good question. Yeah. Do you mean outside of the ritual or within the ritual?
Are you going to continue this going on forward? Are you going to... encourage other people to do it, what does it look like?
I would love to continue doing this. I'm looking forward to see what happens in this experience. And if there are people who are within the experience want to collaborate further, this is absolutely something that I would love to have community around. I mean, I'm so grateful for Dani to be doing this with her, because I don't think you can do this kind of work alone. We need each other in this work. So I hopefully envision that, and I think there are so many different types of healing that are being called, so many different types of grief. You know, you spoke about epigenetics and the trauma that we carry in our lineage, and I know for myself another call and deep interest is wanting to hold spaces of reconnection and healing that trauma that is so far back that I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But I know that I'm still carrying it, and how that process of reconnecting with my ancestors, reconnecting with the parts of me that are wounded, reconnecting with patterns and things that are playing out that I'm unaware of, and making sacred space to do that with other people. So that's another interest, but grief is a huge one, and I absolutely invite people who are struggling with grief, who just want community around it, who maybe don't have a particular church or religious practice, but feel a deep calling towards spirituality, soul work. I feel like that's the intention of it that I mm-hmm. want to see continue. Mm-hmm. And as far as what you asked about how we take care of each other when someone is experiencing grief, I think that's really important. And I think a lot of it is the personal practice of attunement. How are we actually deepening our awareness of what this other person needs energetically? How am I listening, quieting my body, opening my capacity for empathy and compassion and love, and listening, asking the person? Letting them know they're seen, letting them know their grief is welcome. I feel like those pieces are really simple. Often, yeah, that need to comfort is because no one wants to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we actually just let somebody be in their grief is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. So to let them be in their grief is to let them feel it and go through the throes, all the emotions and all of that. And come out on the other end, not healed, but not devastated either.
I think if something, if any little piece moves, any little piece that we get to move, that's a gift, right? That's a little, that's a movement towards healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am hoping that's what gets generated in this gathering.
Yeah. So why grief?
I think it's the part of our very human nature that has been kind of almost demonized. Like there's a way where it's been not only undervalued as part of our nature and part of something that we need to live through, and live into and honor, but it's been like, in so many ways, I think grief has been, we've been cut off from that very natural process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with this, all the things that are emerging and unfolding in our world, there's a growing need for us to learn and reconnect with this process of grief. And mm-hmm. and it is so tied into healing. Like, I think there isn't any real true healing that can happen without grief. That's mm-hmm. my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. My personal feeling is that any amount of healing that I've been able to experience has been made possible through grief, at least in part. So that's why I'm finding my looking to find a way to connect with and support mm-hmm. grief in my own life and in my community. And
some kind of a cause or a reason why we don't deal with grief these days?
Well, I think grief doesn't, it's not good for marketing value, or doesn't sell things. And
that's
I think the way our society and capitalism has constructed our reality now, there's no place for grief. If we grieved, the land that we were, using, the water we were poisoning, if we grieved those things, if we actually had that connection, we wouldn't, maybe we would be conscious enough to not be buying things in plastic, or, I go to the grocery stores and I look at the salsa jars or everything, and it's kind of like mass insanity.
It really is.
It really is. And I think the more I deepen my own relationship with grief and with the earth grief I'm feeling, with the grief I'm feeling for my daughter, and if she ever has children, and what that would look like, one, the deeper my sense of gratitude is for what we do have, but two, the more conscious I want to become, the more I want to change my lifestyle, the more I peel back the layers and see the toxic nature of the way we live. And so grief to me is a gift in that it's a piece that we can welcome back into our lives, into our hearts. We're doing this climate action. It's beautiful to see people come together and care. And I think a piece that, when I was sitting there filled with grief, and I think whether or not we're naming that, that's part of what we're walking with as we move into this awareness.
Yeah. My wife brought up the fact that the government's going to kill thousands of buffalo, Buffalo Field Campaign is working against that, mm-hmm. And then she goes, and I just can't even imagine how it makes you feel, as a native, and you get so good at compartmentalizing, of stuffing, of just not walking with it, but then I stopped and I started tearing up, because I had been compartmentalizing that for so much of the activity that's going around in this turtle island, you know, the destruction of the waters, you know, the elder relatives, the lack of respect, ridiculous idea of fertilizing eggs, you know, in a tray with miscellaneous sperm, you know, and putting it back into our ecosystems. What the hell is that? You know, I mean, they have a cow mentality, you know, because that's what they do with cows, you know. I mean, you're taking away the survival of the fittest process of that whole fish, you know, propagation thing, you know, and that is well worthy of grieving, you know, because that is, you're creating stupid things, you know. I mean, it's really dumb, you
We've
know.
We've gotten really good at creating stupid things.
Really good, yeah. It's like they call a hydroponic farmed blueberries organic, but you're not regenerating soils. You're not contributing, you know, the exudates, the sugars into the soil or anything like that, you know. I mean, you're creating plastic, you know, and calling it organic, you know. It's just ridiculous. And so these are the things that I grieve. You know, I mean, the things that I grieve is what's happening to our elder relatives, you know. Yes. I also grieve that humanity has become so stupid, so idiotic, that they are pooping in their own bed, you know. And not only their own bed, but our future generations and our elder relatives, you know. That's what I grieve, you know. I grieve the stupidity of human beings, you know. I feel that that has been, you know, epigenetically caused by the civilization of European tribes, you know, and it caused their critical thought process to be lodged in their amygdala, which is fight or flight lizard brain fear based. So they don't think critically. They, because it's lodged in their amygdala, their neural web of fear pain. So they don't think critically. And I mourn that. You know, I mean, there's so much, you know, that we have walked away from being human beings. I mourn that, you know. I mean, my life is full of grief, you know, the grief for my people, the grief for the current genocide that's going on against us, the grief for our waters. I mean, for our tribal nations, you know, I mean, that's grief, you know, and it's hard to talk about it without tearing up, you know, because it's, you stuff it, and the minute you put a little pinprick in it, things start welling up, you know. So I appreciate what you're doing, you know, because we need more community-based circles, because I think the circles is the only thing that's going to help us, you know. We can continue walking the way we're walking right now without any growth, and we will just be doing that. But until we get into circles and we started communicating with each other, and we start communicating with our own selves, more importantly, you know, and then we can start moving forward with beauty, you know, with being connected, with being human beings, you know, and dealing with grief. The way you ladies are doing it is very important, because you're focusing on it. You know, you're taking it, and then you're or naming it, and you're doing something about this thing right here. You know, and that's what needs to happen. You know, because it may be considered amorphous. You know, a non-solid type of a thing. You know, but really, stuff like that impacts us in reality, because we can't get over stuff. You know, and we hold grudges, and we have attitudes, and we have, you know, hate and all this stuff, you know. So that must be a huge part of dealing with the renewal part of it, of that, is to be addressing these large problems. And how are we dealing with those, you know, because they are such large problems, you know. I mean, most people realize that we are living in a screwed up society right now, you know, at least most people that I know. But if you go back Midwest, go back East Coast, it's not so much that way. So honors to you, you know, so for doing this work, because it can't be fun work, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it's fun work, but it's something in me actually just relaxes. It quite, it like, if there's something nourishing about it, because we are not just running around with these masks, these facades that we've created, this busyness, this lifestyle that we're trying to uphold. Something about coming to a space where we just sit in circle, share what it is we're carrying, share what's too much, that what we've been carrying that's been too much. There's something that relaxes in me around that, and it is that beginning. I mean, I think I've pretty much gotten over thinking I'm going to change the world or wake people up. Pretty much not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And if I can just sit in a circle with people and be real and help hold space for us all to do our healing, that to me is a gift. That to me is pretty much all we have left. I don't know what's going to happen with the earth. I don't have control over the people who are making decisions, making bad decisions across the board. But I do know that I can still be a human, and I can still invite that remembrance of what it is for us to be human, mm-hmm. and that connection to the earth and each other that has been lost.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. Is being connected to ourselves again, mm-hmm. you know, is to be a human being the way the Creator meant us to be, mm-hmm. you know, loving, giving, receiving, kind, compassionate, prayerful, all those things, mm-hmm. you know. So in my growing up, I saw that a man's medicine is about controlling the ball. A woman's medicine is about interactivity. You know, and I think that's the more powerful of the medicine. And what you ladies are doing is you're stepping into your medicine, you know, by holding these circles like this, you know, is because that's where your gifts lie, you know, as women, you know. Men are good tools, you know, but women, they're the ones who hold it together, you know. So as a matter of fact, in my language, Mindamuye is a word for grandma. That means she who holds it all together. Mm. Yeah. So part of the culture, you know, mm-hmm. so, are you guys going to continue these type of, circles?
Yeah. I would really love to be continuing to do this work in some capacity. I mean, whether that's through doing more of these rituals in a similar format, as this upcoming one, I'm sure we'll learn a lot from that experience, and I'm sure it'll evolve, you know, and I look forward to letting it kind of unfold organically and see what the community wants and what works for us and carry that forward. And like, I'm devoted to doing this work however it feels most effective to be doing it, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I feel really grateful for Danny in this process, and just because I think I feel this call, and I felt really alone in it. And so to share this with a dear sister, I'm so grateful to be. And I think, as you were saying, like as we move into what this turns into in the future, what future rituals or ceremony or community activism looks like, will be informed by what's needed, by the people who are coming, by what we're both needing or feeling bubbling in us. You know, it's how we like dream into the space. I know for myself, I've been having a hard time holding collective grief. And so, you know, the call is not because I'm, you know, come to this space and I'm going to heal you. The call is, there's a call in me for that. There's a need in me for that. And that's where I'm like inviting the community to come. And we, you know, I feel like we're learning how to hold that space, mm-hmm. and we're all learning how to, that in that remembrance of how to hold each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's lost my train of thought. maybe start off like every couple weeks or monthly or something like that, or
well, right now we're gonna start with this one.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I haven't shared, but I'm in a master's of social work program, and I did a ritual independent study this summer, and I shared it with my professor about how ritual and how this practice can be revived in community as a form of activism.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved it. And I think this is kind of the bubbling, the beginning for me of something that, how do we invite this back into something as kind of, I don't want to say heinous because it's going to be my profession, I guess, but like social work.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that's of the system that is kind of yucky, you know, it's pushing people through systems and to get help. But how do we invite spaces where, okay, we're calling back the circle, we're calling back the remembrance of grief, we're going to remember what it is to be seen and witnessed and have belonging, and this idea of communal well-being. We're not just going to live these individual lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels like something that's on the horizon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you speak in terms of a collective and being together and all of this. I'm of the same mind, you know, and I feel that the more connected that we can get with each other, the more we heal each other, you know, I mean, and the more human being that we can become, you know, I feel that the more that we are able to come together in maybe thousands of little circles everywhere, we form one great big circle and then we kick in 100th monkey syndrome type of thing. You know, so in case people don't know what 100th monkey syndrome, there's a chain of islands in Indonesia where one monkey, grandmother monkey, started washing her fruit. And then all of a sudden, her family started washing their fruit too, you know, following her example. And then, and because it's a chain of islands, you know, there's no communication between islands. But when the 100th monkey on that one island started washing its fruit, the whole chain simultaneously started washing their fruit. So they achieved a group consciousness, you know, and I think that's what we need to be doing because we are all connected. You know, they say no man is an island. Yes, a man is an island, but we're connected by the water, you know. So that's what needs to be realized is the spiritual nature of what happens when we get together in rooms. So how do you guys address that spiritual nature?
How do we address it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I feel that it sort of speaks for itself when people get into that room and we share that experience together. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not really, I mean, I love to be able to speak to that and acknowledge it and really name it and invite more of it. But it also, it speaks for itself. It's an experience that we share when we do come into circle or we come into ritual together. It's something that I think we all feel inevitably as long as we're willing to be present with it and or able to be present with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I feel like for myself, I'm at this point in my life where all I can really do is speak for myself and share my experience. And so when I'm in those spaces, it's very natural for me to say my experience of this is a connection with something sacred and something beyond what I can even name or comprehend, but it feels like coming home. It feels like being connected to the greater, my greater purpose or my origins, you know?
So. Which is?
That's a great question. It's like it's trying to name the unnameable, but I feel that the best way I could describe it is like, I mean, the circle. I love the symbol of the circle because it represents the infinite and it represents connectivity and it represents the cyclical nature of nature and that which we're all a part of. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways to understand it. I think it's really beautiful to witness the coming together of spirituality and science in these times. Like, we're beginning to be able to describe and understand this thing that we've all been connected to or been wanting to connect with for generations. We're able to kind of analyze it and understand it in like this sort of scientific way.
Or not understand it. I think for me, I feel it's interesting. My daughter doesn't like the word God, and she doesn't, which I get. A lot of people don't, and I'm on the fence about it. But God is, for me, spirit. God, for me, the word that she likes, that I love and I've really taken in, is the great mystery. And so when I think of how we're addressing this or who we're addressing when we come to this space, or it is that mystery that resides in each of us, and the mystery that has created this planet. So that feels like a tremendous gift to be in space where we get to, like you said, Danny, like it's going to be different for each of us. And I think we're all kind of in that mystery.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna have to speak a little bit closer to the mic. Okay. Okay. So during these how long is this gonna last?
This ritual is a day and a half.
Uh-huh.
So it will start Friday evening, and we'll do a micro ritual and a circle to kind of see who's in the room. And then it'll be all day on Saturday, the 28th, from 9 to 5:30.
Mm-hmm. And where's it located?
It's located at the Headwaters Building.
That's right, Headwaters
Street.
Building. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here with Desiree Coutinho and Danny Leonardo, and we're talking about a grief ritual coming up. Can you give us some details on that?
So it's called a community ritual of renewal, sharing grief and core joy in difficult times.
And you can find that is the name of the Facebook page. And you can sign up on Eventbrite. You can also message Danny or I if you'd like more information around it. It's September 27th from 6 p.m. to 8:30, and September 28th, 9 a.m. to 5:30.
Okay. All right. So thank you for the work that you're doing, you know, because it's very important to be able to have people to get into circles. You know, I mean, just to even have them get into circles is a victory, you mm-hmm. know. So, but to deal with such a hard topic also, you know, is something that is absolutely necessary, you know, because we all need healing. We all want to be human beings in the best way that the Creator meant us to be, you know. Mm-hmm. So as you could probably tell, I don't like the word God either. Mm-hmm. me and God have a really bad relationship. But me and the Creator have a beautiful relationship, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, so that's why I think racism is just so extremely stupid, because we all come from the same source, mm-hmm. you know. And to be racist is self-hate. That's what that is. Yeah. It's self-hate, mm-hmm. you know. And if they were able to deal with their grief, they probably wouldn't be hating themselves so much,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
So any final words to wrap up in this last 40 seconds?
All I can say is, like, I'm really grateful for the resonance that I feel. And I just want to speak to my devotion to this acknowledgement and work with grief, and like your question of, is this going to keep happening? Like, I want people to reach out to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if you don't have to be interested in coming to the ritual. Just if this work is interesting to you, if you feel called, if you feel a resonance with anything that we've shared today, like, I just want to talk. I want to hear about it. I want us to connect as community and to just kind of acknowledge each other, if not come together.